Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 30th of December, recording at, it looks like it's 7:52 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights today. As far as stock markets are concerned, they were mostly positive here today. No spectacular gains that I'm aware of, but again, firming within their overall trading ranges. An exception was China. Though it closed off its lows, it was only down a tiny bit, but it really has been pressing against that December reaction low. Mind you, China had also bottomed in September, so it's got a little bit more breathing space than most of the other stock market indices around the world. And Wall Street, although it's got a way to go before the close, is currently up on the three main indices, anything from 1.25% to 1.6%. So not a bad day. In terms of long-dated government bonds, weak confidence figures in the U.S. reversed a small decline in U.S. treasuries, which are closing out on a fairly firm footing. Well, they are on the 30-year. I can see they're down a little bit on the 10-year. I'm talking about bond prices now. The U.S. dollar has been soft against a number of currencies. I hesitated there for a moment because the dollar index actually appears to be up at the moment a little bit. But on the more important transactions that I can see on my screen, for instance, the euro is back up to 141.12, and the Australian dollar is up to 69.11. That's up 59 ticks. So again, the dollar, however, is firmer against the it is firmer against the Canadian dollar, and it's also firmer against sterling, which has been so weak recently. Elsewhere, in commodities, now precious metals are firm generally, although an exception here today is gold, which is down 10. Silver's in the plus column, and platinum, which had fallen back to that $900 level earlier today, is currently trading at 922. That's not far off. That's only $3 off its high on the day. So steady performance there. But the best action in percentage terms has been in some of the industrial metals today, and they really rebounded quite sharply. Nickel, for instance, where I have a long position which had been underwater recently, is up over 10% here today, up to $10,710 on the third month position close. And crude oil is a little bit easier in here today, 39.18 as I speak. Natural gas has also fallen back somewhat. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, first, in terms of stock markets, the technical action suggests that base building activity is taking place and that markets are still in that phase that I described as a ranging, rallying reversion to the mean in terms of their declining 200-day moving averages. And that's basically been the outlook since the second half of October, and it's been the Fuller Money view since the second half of October. But the question was always going to be, would most of the reversion to the mean occur in the form of sideways activity, possibly even sideways activity with a slight downward drift, as some indices have shown, or would it be in the in the form of strong rallies. Well, with confidence so low, aside from the periodic bout of short covering, as you know, buyers have been very reluctant to persist. They've been sitting on cash or in treasury bonds for the most part. But that technical action has improved a bit in the last couple of days. I think I'd mentioned last week that we were getting a little bit of downward drift towards those towards the early December reaction lows. Now, those are not the actual contract lows or the actual lows within the downtrend, I should say. But Owen and I have cited them over the last 3 weeks as an important support level, technically, and I think also psychologically. Well, the two would go together, wouldn't they? In other words, if you look at stock market indices today, and I've posted a few of them, and of course you can see them all anytime you want to look at the chart library, you will notice that we have had, since the October selling climax, that we've seen more upward than downward dynamics within the current ranges. That's a good sign. The climactic nature of the sell-off suggested certainly that stock market selling was way overdone. The ranging activity is in some instances characterized by progressions of gently rising lows. That suggests that demand may be not only increasing, but actually beginning to get the upper hand. Now, people will say, well, wait a minute, activity over the Christmas period is meaningless because most people are away. I've never actually held that view, and I've been happy to keep my eye on the markets and my trading hand in. It's usually been a lucrative performance period for me, and this Christmas, I'm glad to say, is no different. Most of those gains, but not all of them, coming from the precious metal sector, which remains in form. But looking at the stock market indices, I think that one is conditioned to expect to see patterns that are actually deteriorating because sentiment is so bearish. But if you have a look, and I do recommend it, I think you'll see that far more indices show evidence of base formation development overall. Now, why might that be? Well, of course, we've had these record stimulus packages. We also know that interest rates are at or near historic lows in some countries and coming down elsewhere. So that's favorable. We know all about the huge drop in the commodity prices. So that's moved us from an inflationary environment into a decidedly disinflationary environment, and that's quite positive. There are fears that it will turn into outright deflation, but a number of central banks are doing all in their considerable power to prevent that from happening, and I don't like to bet against the central banks once they're committed to a particular action. I like moving with it, so I think that some of the deflation, let alone the depression, fears are exaggerated overall. Anyway, I've written about it today in comment in one of my more lengthy pieces, and I've listed 10 points as to why we're more likely to get a recovery rally in the first quarter of 2009 rather than a move down to the lows. But, you know, our research at Fuller Money is not faith-based, so if we saw those early December lows taken out by leading stock market indices, by leading I mean by the more important stock market indices in North America, Europe, and Asia, and then I would change that view. That would not breaches of the early December lows would not ensure that we were going to see a resumption of the overall bear market declines, but it would certainly increase the risk of that happening. Or in other words, as I've said before, we can't get a retest of the lows, let alone an extension to the overall downward trends, without first breaking the early December reaction lows. And that hasn't happened yet. And it may not happen. So, looks like a reasonably steady closeout for the year in stock markets generally. Government bonds, however, remain very, very firm, and that indicates how cautious investors actually are. But what I think is, well, it's no doubt that the missing ingredient for stock markets in recent weeks, recent months, is confidence. And despite the fact that I can rattle off, anyone can rattle off a number of factors regarding valuations, extremes of sentiment, stimulative packages, low interest rates, and so on, as to why stock markets might rally, if there isn't any confidence in the marketplace, then it isn't going to happen, is it? Well, I think that may change, and it may change really quite soon. And if I ask the question, why might that be? Well, we know that investors are holding a lot of cash, particularly institutional investors. Now, if stock markets go into January and are comparatively weak, then there'll be no reason for anybody to invest any of that cash. Or if they do so, it'll only be on a gently nibbling basis on stock market easing. However, if stock markets are relatively firm in the first quarter of the year, of the new year, then investment managers, performance-oriented investment managers, will be under considerable pressure to join the rally, put some of that cash to work, because failure to do so could mean that they not only get off to a bad start for the year, but they might miss out on, or the fear would be that they might miss out on the better, or one of the better performance opportunities of 2009. So, to summarize that, I feel that early strength in January, and we may not get it, of course, but I think there's a reasonable chance, a better than 50-50 chance that we will get it. An earlier stre early strength in January could quickly become self-feeding as institutional investors in p particular deploy more of that cash. Now, meanwhile, I'm also heartened by the sharp rebound that we've seen in the last couple of months by corporate bonds, because that had been a disaster area, really, and they've rallied quite sharply. And I put in a relative chart today that they are now actually starting to outperform even the long-dated government bonds. So that's another encouraging sign here overall. And the financial sectors are showing, or they've shown, in some instances, they've shown relative strength really for quite some time. And that is an encouraging sign as well. So enough said. I think we do have and potential for that to rally. But as I've also said in my comment, that if we don't see evidence of some economic recovery or lessening of the recessionary pressures, at least by the third quarter of 2009 at the latest, if we don't see that, then I think stock markets will be vulnerable to, at minimum, base formation extensions and possibly worse. But in the meantime, as I say, the picture is nowhere near as technical picture, at any rate, is nowhere near as gloomy as stock market sentiment in general would have us believe. Now, the US dollar, in my view, is unlikely to go back and test the highs that it had seen a couple of months ago. But after a very sharp downward break out of that small top area, it has experienced a technical rally and is now in sort of a ranging phase overall. My feeling is that the dollar is not a fundamentally strong currency. It's actually a fundamentally weak currency, and that its strength had little to do with a flight to quality, but technicalities such as the deleveraging, not least in terms of commodity markets, which are almost entirely priced in US dollars. And so if you're selling out of those positions, you're actually buying back US dollars. So there were lots of reasons, and the momentum trade that we saw following the support operation last July, lots of reasons to create a big short covering rally and a temporary shortage of dollars, but that looks to be over. And I think that investors increasingly recognize that precious metals are real money. They're hard money. They're not money that we use as a in terms of exchange in our day-to-day transactions, but they are the most proven store of wealth available. And I think any investor with a just a modicum of financial history under their belts knows that fiat currencies, paper money in other words, has an appalling track record in terms of maintaining its purchasing power. And in an uncertain world, one thing we know for certain right now is that the US government and a lot of other governments are printing one heck of a lot of money, both literally and via the electronic medium, as they fight the deflationary forces in economies. So that's a good background for precious metals generally, and therefore it's hardly surprising that we've seen such strong rebounds in gold shares and silver shares over the last couple of months, and that the metals, I have both, but I like the metals most of all, not least for trading purposes. And they're very steady, very firm here overall. What about crude oil? Well, I suspect that it's in a bottoming region here, but we don't have much evidence on the charts yet that that bottoming out process is underway, and it's likely to be lengthy. And if it is lengthy, then the world has cheap energy comparatively, and certainly relative to what we saw last July when crude had temporarily run up over $147. So if crude's hanging around in the $40 region, let alone a bit below, that's not bad news. That's a favorable background for the global economy generally. And at some point, we know those stimulative packages are going to kick in. It takes time. It can take anywhere from a year to 18 months before significant changes in monetary policy really affect the economy. But affect it, they will. And I think those are the highlights here today, and that's the picture as I see it generally. I will have a short comment as will Owen tomorrow, and I'll also do another audio on the last day of the year. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.